More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Tyke. If you spent any time at the municipal complex in Wauwatosa, you've probably noticed a car that looks the slightest bit out of place in the parking lot. Alongside the minivans and hybrids of suburbia, a blue and rusty 1961 Ford Falcon is frequently parked behind the public library. The story of that car, or more to the point, the story of its owner, is outlined in an essay by Milwaukee Magazine editor Kurt Chandler in the current issue. It's a story that spurred an outpouring of interest from readers, and Kurt Chandler joins us now to talk about it. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mitch. It's always good to be here. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. What first got you thinking about this distinctive Ford Falcon and its owner?
Well, I live in Wauwatosa, not too far from the Wauwatosa Public Library, and I make quite a few trips over to the library for books, for CDs, for movies. It's a great place. I love libraries, love public libraries. And I'd noticed this old rusty Ford Falcon sitting in the parking lot all the time. I mean, virtually every time I went there, this car was parked in the lot. And I thought, well, okay, maybe there's an employee there who drives this thing. One day, I noticed somebody sitting in the driver's seat. So my curiosity got the better of me, and I walked up and tapped on the door, and I started a conversation with this man sitting in the driver's seat. He was smoking a cigarette and listening to the radio, and it turns out his name is John, and he does not work for the public library. He is homeless and has been for the past 7 years and living in his car, 1961 Ford Falcon. It was filled with clothes and water bottles and a few tools. And so I asked him if I could talk to him and hear what his story was. I identified myself as a reporter with Milwaukee Magazine. And he was hesitant at first, but he told me about his life being homeless. It was quite a story, and I decided to write about it.
So you say he was hesitant at first, but in the end opened up a bit.
Yeah, he didn't want his last name published. And I thought, well, okay, everybody's got a few skeletons in the closet. I don't know if I was approached by a reporter, if I would even talk to the reporter, knowing some of the tricks that us reporters have in our pockets. But he was open about talking about his family or lack of family. He does not have relatives in the area. And about his daily routine, he finally, you know, talked to me about where he sleeps. He sleeps in his car. He parks in a cemetery because it's quiet and relatively safe. The owner of this cemetery is grateful to have him parked there because it keeps the vandals and hoodlums away, seeing that there's a car in the lot. But he is of very poor health. He has asthma, emphysema, and he was in the hospital couple years ago with double pneumonia. And just a couple weeks after I met him, he was admitted to the emergency room with a collapsed lung. So he is only 56, but in fairly poor health.
Have you heard reaction from readers? And has he heard reaction? Because you are obviously not the only one that sees this car on a frequent basis. I mean, as I was coming to work this morning, I saw his car drive by me.
I talked to the librarian at Wauwatosa Library, who actually is a friend, and she says, yes, she was aware of him. And once he got into an argument with somebody in the parking lot, some woman apparently opened her car door into his car, and he took offense at that. You know, he said, well, you know, this is my property. No matter what it looks like, don't abuse my property. And he got into a verbal argument. The librarian had to call the police. They calmed him down. But generally, he's just a citizen using the public library. He goes in, reads books, surfs the internet. I got a quite a few voicemails and letters. Email from a Wauwatosa City employee who said, oh, we've always been wondering about that guy and what he was doing there, whether he was safe, whether we were safe from him. And she said, thanks for clearing up the mystery. I also got a very interesting letter handwritten from a woman who lives in West Dallas who also has sought government assistance because she, you know, only has a part-time job as a crossing guard. And some health issues as well. She was telling me how she survives on a limited federal assistance, Social Security check every month, but she wanted to pass along some information, some advice to John, along with a coat that she had, a winter coat for him. So she didn't have a computer. John doesn't have a telephone. So I communicated with her by phone and John by email and was the middleman here. And I put the two of them together and they met. The coat was far too big for John and he had to pass on the coat, but she gave him a nice pair of winter gloves and some advice on how to get food stamps, housing assistance, a cheap or free cell phone, you know, one of those disposable phones, and things like this. And I was really struck by her generosity. And I wrote a blog about it, but I thought that, you know, this is a really nice thing for somebody to do, and shouldn't everybody be this generous and kind? She did not want her name used either. She just wanted to be an anonymous Good Samaritan, I guess. And John was very happy to receive her advice. John himself has made some changes since this ran in the magazine. He's quit smoking. He had been a real heavy smoker. And he also got a bad leak in his car fixed from a friend who is a mechanic. So he's trying to turn things around. He's trying to see what he can do now to find a place to live with some assistance.
Well, and one of the things that really strikes me about this essay is that It doesn't come to any particular conclusion. It just lays out the facts of John's life.
Right. I wasn't going to try to moralize or try to get into a political commentary about federal aid or state aid or city aid. I was struck, though, by how different his reality is from mine. There's not that much that separates people from ending up in the same situation that John is in. I have a nice car. I went home that day after talking to him and I had a nice lunch and I live in a comfortable home. And it was miles away from his existence, you know, sleeping in his car every night, eating as frugally as possible. But that has been his existence for so long. I'm just wondering how difficult it will be for him to make changes, really, and adjust his routine because he has one. He was in the hospital, as I said before, after his lung collapsed, and he called me because he was having a very difficult time in the hospital. It was uncomfortable for him. The doctors were not the most kind to him, according to John, and he wasn't sleeping. So finally, he checked himself out of the hospital, went back to his car, and got a great night's sleep, sleeping in the front seat of his car after being in the hospital for 3 days.
Do you think, is there something emblematic in this kind of story as it pertains to what you try to accomplish as a journalist? You're in this new position, relatively new position, last couple of months as editor of the magazine. Obviously, all the stories aren't going to be about, a guy in a car someplace. But does it speak to something that you really try to accomplish?
I've always thought that if people can meet another human being and talk and communicate and relate on some level to that human being, whether that person is of the opposite party, of a different race or ethnicity, of a different income level, sexual orientation, they can get along on just a human level. And I've seen this again and again and again in sort of the issue-related stories I've written and edited as a journalist, whether it's profiling gays or lesbians or people in John's situation. I think that somewhere in us as human beings, we can just strip away all the labels and all the differences and at our best see what we share. And I think that is what I came away with this essay. And I think time and time again, I hear that on stories that try to get at that very human level where there might be an issue. I think that can be secondary and maybe dismissed. I'm not sure if Congress would agree with that, but I think most people would.
You'd been away from Milwaukee Magazine for a while before they called you back and hired you as the editor. You'd served kind of temporarily in that role in times past, but what makes this the right job for you at this time in your life?
Well, the timing just seemed very right. I've always seen myself as a writer at heart, and was loath to be pulled into an editor's position. I had done it temporarily at Milwaukee Magazine and really enjoyed getting back to writing. This time, I had just finished up with a couple book projects I was working on. I was scouting around for my next idea, probably another book idea. I was doing some freelancing, including some articles for Milwaukee Magazine. And the call came out of the blue, and I thought about it, and I talked to people, and I slept on it. And then I started waking up in the morning after a day or two thinking about story ideas that I would assign to writers and people who I would bring into the magazine and how I might reshape the magazine. And I thought, you know, this could be fun. This could be fun. And there's always that thing in the back of your mind that asks, well, what if you don't do this? Then you're going to wonder what if for the rest of your life. So I jumped in, and so far, so good. I'm working with a very young, talented, creative, enthusiastic staff. I'm getting a lot of support so far, and who knows? Maybe I won't last. Maybe I'll be booted out sooner than I think, but I can always go back to doing what I was or doing something completely different. I feel like I have a sort of an open slate here, and teamed up with Linda Lundeen, who's now the publisher of Milwaukee Magazine. I think there's sort of a new opportunity for a new direction and good stuff to come.
Well, we're looking forward to reading it. Kurt Chandler, thanks so much.
Thanks, Mitch.
Kurt Chandler is editor at Milwaukee Magazine. You can find a link to his essay called Running on Empty from WUWM.com/Lake Effect. Next on the program, an update on a project called Legacy Letters, which we first introduced to you some time ago. Keep listening. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.